Good afternoon. My name is Doug, and I will be your conference operator today. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to Crédito Real's first quarter 2014 earnings conference call. Crédito Real issued its quarterly report Tuesday, April 29, 2014. If you did not receive a copy via email, please do not hesitate to contact us in New York City at 646-284-9406. Before we begin the call today, I would like to remind you that forward-looking statements made during today's conference call do not account for future economic circumstances, industry conditions, and company performance and financial results. These statements are subject to a number of risks and uncertainties. Today from Crédito Real in Mexico City, we have Mr. Ángel Romanos, Chief Executive Officer, Ms. Lorena Cardenas, Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Jonathan Rangel, Investor Relations Officer. I'd now like to turn the call over to Mr. Romanos. Sir, please begin.
Thank you, operator. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us in our first quarter 2014 conference call. The first quarter of 2014 showed significant progress and achievements for our company. The results reflect the ability of Crédito Real to keep with continued growth and strong financial performance, even with a slower economy than previously thought. It is important to remark that our loan portfolio increased 55% and our quarterly net income increased 23%, net of a one-time item related to the unwinding of a swap position. This compared to the same period of the previous year. During the quarter, all five products, payroll loans, small business loans, durable goods loans, microcredit loans, and used car loans experienced important growth. The expansion reached during the first quarter of 2014 along all products enhances our loan book diversification while maintaining high returns and controlled NPLs, as highlighted by a 27.9% ROE and a 1.5% NPL ratio. The new businesses introduced during late 2012, used car loans and small business loans, significantly increased and now represent 10% of the total loan portfolio. We expect this trend in the diversification and growth to continue in the coming quarters. Important achievements on Crédito Real long-term growth strategy have been accomplished during the quarter. Just to mention a few, we have increased our distribution network for group loans and used car loans and continued our loan portfolio diversification as shown in the loan portfolio origination in the presentation of the company. For group loans, our customer base and loan portfolio experienced significant growth as we now operate with two strategic alliances. For used car loans, we began a new partnership to finance used car loans within Mexico City suburbs. Under this new partnership, used car loans will increase by establishing more branches that finance cars with a life range from 3 to 7 years old. A complex GPS tracking systems, insurance, as well as very keen credit analysis will allow us growth in a controlled manner that resemble our other business lines. We look forward to see a nice increase in our used car loan portfolio through this new partnership, as well as others that are developing. Regarding payroll loans, although January and February were more challenging than usual, given a much slower economy and retail sales being as low as the worst months of the 2008 financial crisis, our main distributors continued to increase market presence, getting new contracts, especially with the pensioners, which today is mainly an unexploited market. The first quarter of the year includes a small presence of the Bansefi program. As you may remember, this is a government-sponsored program for the teachers' union, announced late last year. During the first quarter, 820 loans were prepaid for a principal amount of 13 million pesos. This is 13 million pesos. That represents approximately 0.2% of Crédito Real payroll loan portfolio. We expect a similar trend to continue during the present quarter in that sense. Although payroll loan portfolio has seasonality during the year, our three main distributors continue to identify growth opportunities, and we keep our expectations in line with what we projected for the whole year. Regarding funding, during the quarter, we have accomplished important achievements by increasing our long-term indebtedness, which would allow us to finance the future loan portfolio growth as outlined by our expansion plan. The new debt profile has an important cost of funds reduction, an increase to the average term, and an improvement to the maturity profile. Important trends over the last quarters are shown in the financial ratios. Let me mention that our capitalization ratio and debt-to-equity ratio show a more efficient use of capital, while profitability remains high, as indicated by our returns. As announced during our last call, our guidance for the year considers a 16 to 18% net income year-over-year growth. These first quarter results are definitely the right step towards reaching the 2014 guidance, particularly when we review the increase in loan portfolio origination, growth, and the stronger presence of small business loans. We can confirm our confidence in being capable of delivering great results for the remaining of 2014. I am also excited to announce that during the first quarter, we formally approached authorities at the CMBB to start the process for getting a banking permit. We believe that having a bank will further provide us with opportunities to serve our market with our existing product lines as well as new product lines, and will make us more efficient in our funding costs and strategies. Talking about timing, we expect to get the final authorizations during the second or third quarter of 2015. I am also pleased to announce that during this quarter, the company obtained the Corporate Social Responsible Company, ESR, certification granted by the Mexican Philanthropy Center, and the distinction, one of the best 100 financial companies awarded by World Finance 100. This, together with the Best Place to Work award obtained last year, proves our commitment to our people, our shareholders, and to society as a whole. Finally, given that the current valuation of Crédito Real shares is in average at a more than 40% discount when compared to its peers, and given that our growth expectations, profitability ratios, as well as capitalization ratios are much better than the average of those of our peers, we have taken the decision to implement a share buyback program for as much as $20 million. It is particularly important that our shareholders and partners that continue to provide us with their trust receive adequate returns. Crédito Real confirms its commitment to continue the loan portfolio expansion and diversification while keeping our focus on customers traditionally underserved by other financial institutions. With this, and thanking you again for your interest and presence at our call, I will now turn the call over to Lorena Cárdenas, CFO of Crédito Real, for a closer look at our results. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ángel. Good afternoon, and thank you for taking part in Crédito Real's quarterly conference call. As Ángel mentioned, the quarter was characterized by solid growth in our loan portfolio as our business model continues to reach new customers among all loan products. I will begin the call by highlighting that during the quarter, we successfully issued in the international markets a $425 million senior note due 2019. These notes have a 5-year tenor and a 7.5 annual coupon. We also paid $184 million of the outstanding senior notes due 2015 with a 10.25 annual coupon, reaching more than 86% participation of the tender offer. The cross-currency swap that hedged most of the senior notes due 2015 were canceled. Hence, during the quarter, Crédito Real recognized a 43.5 million peso in net income from the unwinding of the cross-currency swap. For this quarter, the financial statements and the press release we have outlined to allow the non-recurring transaction effects to be easily identified. Regarding loan portfolio, the loan portfolio has increased by 55.6% to reach more than 11,000 million pesos at the end of the first quarter 14, compared to more than 7,000 million pesos recorded at the end of the first quarter 13. The loan book growth was mainly driven by payroll loans, durable good loans, and small business loans. However, we observed a strong expansion through all our products, including used car loans, originations of 33 million pesos during the quarter, and new SME loans origination of 613 million pesos. Total loan originations increased 49% when compared to the first quarter of 2013, with diversification among all products. Approximately 30% of the originations of the quarter were attributable to payroll loans, and another 30% were attributable to the business loans, and the remaining 40% will be mainly split between the other three products. Allowances for loan losses increased 62.6% year over year, following the growth trend experienced by the loan portfolio. The allowances represent 135% of the non-performing loans that, compared to the first quarter 13, are significantly higher. In spite of the allowances increase, the provision for loan losses expense decreased by 10%, and the provisions, is the implications you have in your profit and loss statement, this is a decrease of 10%, driven by stronger collection and a decrease of the non-performing loans from 8.1% at the end of the first quarter to 1.5% at the end of the first quarter 2014. Interest income. During the first quarter, we reached an interest income of 799 million pesos, including the 63 million gains from the unwinding of the cross-currency swap that fully hedged the 215 senior notes. Accordingly, the interest income increased 30% year over year, or 20% excluding the non-recurring items. Financial margin. The financial margin increased 33.8% to 593 million pesos, showing interest income growth and a decreasing cost of funds. Without the non-recurring item, it would have increased, the financial margin would have increased 19.6% year over year. Net income. Net income increased 42.8% during the first quarter, reaching 314 million pesos when compared to the 219 million pesos reached during the first quarter 2013. The net income also includes a non-recurring item of 43 million pesos. Without considering such non-recurring item, the net income would have increased 23%, reaching 270 million pesos for the first quarter 2014. Regarding key indicators, cost of funds. Cost of funds should continue at an 8% level, while your long-term indebtedness now has a three-year average duration, with 52% of our total indebtedness maturing in 2016 or after. Non-performing loans. The non-performing loan ratio reached at the end of the quarter 1.5%, equivalent to 166 million pesos, which has a positive trend when compared to the 1.8% registered at the end of the first quarter 2013. Crédito Real has consistently achieved a superior asset quality than the sector average. Our long-term objective is to keep its non-performing loans ratio between 2 to 3%. During the quarter, Crédito Real experienced a return on average assets of 6.8%. This 6.8% return on average assets considers a significantly higher average balance in investments in securities that reflects the recently received proceeds from the 2019 senior notes. If the effect of the non-recurring item and the above average in investments in securities are excluded, then a 8.1% return on average assets would have been reached during this first quarter. The return on average equity was 27.9%, which compares to 23.9% rate observed during the same period of last year. Without considering the non-recurring effect, the return on average equity is at 24.1%. These return on average equity levels show that Crédito Real's profitability is among the highest within the Mexican financial sector. Efficiency ratio. The efficiency ratio, excluding the non-recurring effect, showed an improvement reaching 24.4% when compared to the 27.9% reached during the same period of 2013, thus reflecting a significant increase in the financial margin while maintaining a lower growth in the administrative expense. Our capitalization index trend highlights that the IPO resources continues to be deployed, as we now have reached a 42% capitalization index when compared to a 52.8% capitalization index registered at the end of first quarter 2013. Before we open the floor for questions, let me emphasize that this first quarter of 2014 brings certainty to our Crédito Real's expansion plan. The significant increase in our long-term funding allows loan portfolio growth for the years to come. The market opportunity is here, and Crédito Real business model will continue to deliver growth and profitability to our shareholders. With this, I conclude my remarks. Now, to open the call for questions, let me turn the call over to the operator. Operator?
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now be conducting a question and answer session. If you'd like to ask a question, you may press star 1 on your telephone keypad. A confirmation tone will indicate your line is in the question queue. You may press star 2 if you'd like to remove your question from the queue. For participants using speaker equipment, it may be necessary to pick up your handset before doing so, before asking your question. Our first question comes from the line of Tito Labarta from Deutsche Bank. Please proceed with your question.
Hi, good afternoon, Angel, Lorena, and Jonathan. Thanks for the call. I have a couple of questions. First question, just in terms of looking at your margin, you did see some pressure on that. Just wanted to maybe get a little bit more color. Do you think that was driven, you know, by the Bansefi refinancing program, or and how do you see, you know, the margins kind of going forward? Just want to get a little bit more color on that. And then my second question, Angel, you mentioned in terms of getting the banking license maybe second or third quarter of next year. Just want to kind of understand your plans and how that could you know, benefit. I mean, clearly, you know, you can improve your funding, collecting deposits, but how would you go about, you know, being able to collect deposits? You know, we have to kind of start a branch network, or just kind of want to get your thoughts on how you see that evolving once you do get the banking license. Thank you.
Yeah. Hello, Tito. Good afternoon. Regarding the pressure you're seeing in net interest margin, I would also like to highlight that there are certain things happening in the positive trends in Crédito Real, particularly what you're seeing, the change in mix. So we have now a higher participation of the other products, not only payroll, and that's part of the effect you're seeing in the NIM, as you mentioned. And regarding particularly payroll and Bansefi, well, as you've seen, the Bansefi effect in the first quarter is almost null. And to that extent, what we're seeing is certain agreements within the payroll business, we have agreed to decrease a little bit our rates. We will see it continuously within our yield in the next quarters to come, some slight decrease in the yield as we announced it in the guideline. So we will be more closer to the 28% in our yield, based both on this mix and some competitive pressures. But again, it is more to reach a higher market than really a particular situation with Bansefi.
Hello, Tito. And regarding your call about the banking, we believe that our funding strategy, we're just starting to work on the banking process, and for now our funding strategy would be more of a corporate treasury funding through our bank and maybe private banking through friends and family accounts or whatever to get a good amount of money at a cheaper cost. And that's how we're thinking about it now. We're not planning on opening a big branch network or anything like that.
All right. Thank you. That's helpful. Maybe just a couple follow-ups. Just first on the Lorena, you mentioned you still see a little bit of pressure. On the spreads on the yield on the loans. Do you think we've already seen most of that pressure, and you know, kind of going forward, it'll be a bit more of a marginal decline, and things kind of start to stabilize. Just maybe get a little bit more color on how that continues to evolve. And then Angel, on the banking side, I know it's very early to kind of get any particular guidance, but just in terms of how much do you think deposits could represent of your funding, you know, in the long term? Just want to kind of get a sense of your thoughts. How are you kind of thinking about that? If you could just maybe give a little more color on that. Thank you.
I'll answer that real quick. As I tell you, we're just starting to work on our numbers, but we believe that getting 2,000 to 3,000 million pesos would be pretty easy with our strategy. And that's the first numbers we're looking at, and that's in the first 6 to 12 months.
And regarding your question, Tito, on more on the yield, I would look at it for the next quarter on a more stable view. So we have a yield this quarter of 27%, and we will see it between the 27-28% going forward.
Great, thank you. That's very helpful.
Our next question comes from the line of Ernesto Gablando from BBVA Bank. Please proceed with your question.
Hi, good afternoon, Angel and Lorena, and congrats on your results. I have three questions. First, can you share with us your expectations for your sustainable ROE and the assumptions behind to achieve those levels? Secondly, I will appreciate if you can give us some color on how competition is evolving for each of your loan products. And finally, in terms of your SMEs product, can you share with us what can we expect with the new financial reform, particularly in government guarantees for this product? Thank you.
Hello, how are you, Ernesto? Regarding your first question about the ROE, we're still deploying the funds from our IPO. Our leverage is still pretty low, standing at 2.3 to 2.4 debt-to-equity ratio. And we believe we can still deploy more money and bring this ratio up to 3 to 3.5 times. And then the ROE should remain between the 25 and 27% as we advance through the year. Your second question, I didn't get it, but let me ask the third one. On the SMEs, we are working together with NAFINSA and with Bancomex for our SMEs that export or import products. We are very active in getting inside the government programs and taking advantage of them. And as we grow our portfolio and we keep penetrating this market, will be more and more involved in these government programs. And your second question, if you could repeat it, please.
Yes. Yes, thank you. If you can share with us some color on competition for each of your loan products.
Competition is as always, is active and is developing in each one of our line products. We believe we have a very competitive product. We have very good systems in hand, and we have the best people in the industry, which make us a very good competitor. So we respect our competition, and we're always looking at them and forward to them. But we believe the environment is as it has been in the past years, and we can keep developing the company inside that environment.
Thank you very much, Angel.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from the line of Jordan Hemowitz from Philadelphia Financial. Please proceed with your question.
Sorry, thank you. A couple questions, please. So once you get a bank, do you think that the other analysts at Cover you might start to compare you to the banks in the region as opposed to the specialty finance companies? Because when I look at Latin America, you to be the most profitable bank in all of Latin America, and you know you would have the lowest P of anyone by a mile.
Hello, Jordan. Thanks for joining. Yes, we believe that we are very undervalued, and being a bank, we already account for as a bank. We generate income as a bank. we account for bad loans and NPLs as a bank, so we wouldn't have any effect on our numbers. As for the cost that we would incur for the compliance with the banking authorities, we think we can more than offset that with our better cost of funds that we will achieve. So we believe it makes sense to turn ourselves into a bank and to be looked at more as a bank than as an alternative financial company, which we feel that today has slowed the price of the stock and many things that we could do as a company. I don't know if that answers your question.
Got it. Second question is the stock, as you know, was weak over the past couple months because of the Ben Sethi issues. Have you taken the opportunity and the weakness to either buy any stock personally or the company buy back some? I know you announced the $20 million, but has there been any previously purchased, or have you had taken the opportunity personally to take advantage of the weakness?
Well, yes, as family members, we have always been active, and nobody has sold a share since the IPO, and I know most of us have been accumulating in the time, and we do believe it's a good opportunity at these levels, and we'll keep doing so. No, we invite you to do the same.
So just to confirm, the management has been buying stock personally over the past couple months?
I'm sure they have, yes.
Okay. Thank you very much. Appreciate that.
Thank you, Jordan.
Our next question comes from the line of Andres Arifred from Vapormas. Please proceed with your question.
Thank you. Hi, guys. Congrats on the results. I got two questions. The first regarding that once you get the licensed bank, how much do you think this would reduce your your founding cost?
Hello, how are you? I believe that we can decrease our funding cost maybe by 100 or 150 basis points at the beginning, and from there maybe more.
Thank you. The second one is if you can give us an update about the refinancing process of Ben Sethi. You said on your press release that only 0.2% has achieved this refinancing process, about 120 loans. But what do you think that will happen on the rest of the year, and if this will impact or will have an impact on your margin or your profitability?
Yes, as I said in the call, it's been 820 loans that are worth 13 million pesos, and that's 0.2% of our portfolio. We're seeing the same trend in the second quarter, and we expect it to remain like that. And from there, we expect it to start going down, because remember, the program only accepts loans that were given before November 30th of last year. So all the new loans and refinancings we're able to do are not are loans that cannot go into the program. So we believe we'll have somehow of the same effect for the next couple of quarters, and then it'll start going down gradually.
And okay,
we don't expect a hit in margins or anything due to the program.
Thank you. For last, could you give us or you have any news about Latin America or going? You mentioned before that you have been looking to Colombia and Peru. Do you have any news about that?
We are very close to closing a deal outside of Mexico, and I'm sure we will announce it on the next quarter, but we're in the process of doing it now.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from the line of Michelle Galvez from Actinver. Please proceed with your question.
Hi, Angel Lorena. Congratulations on your results, and thank you for the call. I have a couple of questions. Do you have any guidance on your NPL ratio by type of product for the close of 2014? Like, at which level are you feeling comfortable for for each segment of your business? That's the first one. And the second one, could you provide us more color on the new strategic alliances signed for group loans and used cars, like who they are? Are you sharing some type of risk with them, or do you have any exclusivity agreement with them, or those type of that type of information? Thanks.
Hello, Michelle. Good afternoon. Nice to hear from you. On the non-performing loans, our expectation is to keep having high asset quality, and particularly superior asset quality compared to our peers, as we have done it for the last maybe 10, 12 quarters. And our expectation on an overall basis would be a non-performing loans of 2 to 3%. We are right now at a 1.5%. So the company profile is taking a little bit more risk, but again, always having good performance of our loans and keeping our non-performance ratio between 2 to 3% on an overall basis.
And okay. on the new business partners, hi, Michelle, we are developing strategic alliances like the ones we have built before with the payroll dealers, where we have exclusivity agreements and where we are very well aligned with the interests of the of our partners in the long run, not in the short run, so we don't see any risks of them leaving to get other types of financing or other types of partners.
Okay, so, and did you invest any amount on the group loans partner like UDF and the used cars one?
No, we didn't.
Okay. Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from the line of Jamie Nicholson from Credit Suisse. Please proceed with your question.
Hi. Thank you so much for the call. I'd like a little more color about your SME NPLs, which are the highest category of NPLs at 3.4%, and you also had very strong growth in originations. And I'm just wondering if you expect that level to increase as those loans season, or are you comfortable with that level of NPLs given the return? Is it indicative of a challenging economic environment? Any additional color that you can give about the small business loans and as an indicator of kind of the economy would be helpful. Thanks.
Hello, Jamie, and thanks for joining. We don't expect the NPLs on SMEs to go higher than the 3.4%. Inside that 3.4, I believe we have a learning curve. So we expect it to gradually come down under 3%. All the new loans are experiencing a better behavior than the first loans we gave. And we haven't still accessed government guarantees or cheaper funds where we can even better this. So, but we do believe that part of our learning curve was also affected by the Mexican economy, which has been much slower than what we anticipated before. And this goes directly to the SME market, no? But the way that we structure our deals, it's very difficult for them not to pay us. And so we believe we've seen the higher amount of NPLs in the short term.
Thank you. That's very helpful color. And then just as a barometer of the economy, are you seeing we all know that it was a slow first quarter in the Mexican economy. Are you seeing any indicators in terms of increasing demand for lending products or performance of these loans that is indicating an improving economic outlook in Mexico? Is there anything in your business mix that you see could indicate better GDP growth in the second half of the year? Thanks.
For what we've seen of the little we've seen of the second quarter, we're still seeing a sluggish economy. We're not seeing the growth we expected for this quarter either. But you always have to remember that our target market is in an underserved market where the appetite for loans is very big. And we are taking advantage of this. So we believe that the moment the economy starts picking up, we'll be better positioned than we were at the beginning of the year to gain traction and grow even more than we had anticipated.
Great. Thank you very much. Thanks for the call.
Thank you, Jane.
Our next question comes from the line of Chris Delgado from J.P. Morgan and J.P. Morgan Chase. Please proceed with your question.
Hi. I just wanted to follow up, kind of circling back on the Ben Saffi comment you made. So you mentioned that only 13 million pesos so far had been repaid, and that if I understood correctly, that you expected, you know, this trend to kind of continue going forward. But that would imply, you know, that the rate of repayment was going to be substantially lower than what I think you initially guided. I think on your last call you mentioned almost 8% of your payroll portfolio being subject to repayment. So are you changing your estimates there? And is that basically a result of you cutting rates on certain loans?
No, we're not still cutting rates on any loans. And the way these loans are given to the people and the way to participate in them is not easy. And I believe that Bansefi, as well as other programs, have gotten to reality that it's not very easy to go to the mountains in Mexico and give a loan or restructure a loan from a teacher that is in a very small school with access really to no financial services. And I think this is reflecting in what we've gotten of prepayments by now. So we believe this trend to continue, to be low, to be non-substantial for us, although we prefer to think that at some point it may be a little bit larger, and everything that comes under that is good for us. But we're not seeing any interest rate pressure so far.
Okay, but and then I guess a follow-up to that is, are you proactively then looking at clients that could be eligible for this program and maybe offering them a better rate so they're not as inclined maybe to go through all the process of going to Bansefi, or are you just kind of waiting to see what happens?
No, we are proactively looking for customers, the ones that can be available for the Bansefi program and the ones that are not. So we're always in touch with our customers and with the end consumer.
Okay, great. That's helpful then. And then I guess just in that sense, you know, your initial loan growth guidance, I think you gave a payroll lending of about 15%, not factoring in any sort of repayments. Is that still the case then? So your loan growth would be closer to that 15% in the payroll category, right, as opposed to more, I think the initial estimate was like 11% after factoring it in.
We feel very comfortable with the 15%. As we said in the call, January and February were pretty slow months. March picked up significantly, and we're seeing a very good April at the close, origination-wise.
Okay, that's helpful. Thank you.
Thank you.
As a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, it is star one to ask a question. Our next question comes from the line of Gilberto Garcia from Barclays. Please proceed with your question.
Hi, thank you for the call. A quick question on your buyback program. Do you plan to cancel the shares you acquire?
That's a very good question. Not in the short term, no. We don't want to buy back and take liquidity out of the stock, but we're also not interested in letting the stock at this price, so we haven't decided on that yet.
Okay, thank you.
The board only authorized us to buy up to $20 million in stock, but we haven't talked about canceling them or keeping them or what to do with them. But it's a very good question, and we'll get back to you with that one.
All right. Thank you very much.
As a reminder, it is star one to ask a question. There are no further questions in the queue. I'd like to hand the floor back over to management for closing comments.
Thank you very much for participating in the call. We look forward to this second quarter and to our next call.
Ladies and gentlemen, this does conclude today's teleconference. Thank you for your participation. You may disconnect your lines at this time, and have a wonderful day.